time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Yes, hello, Australian. Welcome to the big Friday. That's right, Dave. Woo-hoo. Friday
best
edition
day of, the week.
Of Molloy. Go bonkers. We are 2 hours away from the best drinks of the week.
You got it.
None.
How you feeling? Big day today.
In what way?
Oh, mate, on the guest sheet. Look what I'm seeing.
Okay, this is a big day for me. One of my childhood heroes, Paul Stanley, the star child from Kiss, is on the program.
Amazing.
What are they announcing, Dave?
They are back, Kiss. They're touring all around Australia, and we're talking from Perth to Townsville as well. That's in November and December. All the details coming up with Paul.
Also appearing on the show, Mary Custis with her best friend, Effie, will be in the house. We're going to have a team meet. Dave's going to make an apology. The song Whisperer will be up and about. Did someone fart on the show? Clown of the week, including the best Chappelle Corby joke appearing on Dancing with the Stars I've ever done.
All right. Oh, well, that's
this is it.
Reason to listen.
Come
that's
on.
Coming up. Yep, Clown of the Week.
Friday.
You want to clown someone? Get in early. 1-3-3-5-3. We're going to do it right after the cure. It is Friday. I'm in love. This is Molloy.
For the drive home, this is Molloy. There are many contenders.
The eagle has landed.
If you watch Bridgerton,
decaf coffee, I think that's how you say it.
But who will it be this week?
My mum said to me, what's happening with Carl?
So I love blokes.
Time to reveal.
Imagine Liz giving me a good whipping.
Clown of the Week.
It's a bit right.
Oh, no,
the
Maddie.
Intro to Clown of the Week.
Jeepers.
Maddie's going bonkers. And there, and I didn't mention Week in Review in the opening too. Don't forget, that's coming up.
He puts that always, well, it's 99% you each week usually, isn't it?
Well, it's the best bits,
yeah,
so you'd think so, Dave.
Or Mick, no one else.
That's it. That's why you're not on the poster. Molloy, it says.
Noted.
Big picture
Got
of
it.
Australia's little sweetheart. Hey, it's time for Clown of the Week.
Yes.
And let's see. Well, we've got a caller, Tara. Hello, Tara, who do you want to clown?
Hey, Mick, I want to clown the morons booing at the tennis.
The morons,
the Victorian government.
Yeah,
well, they were booing the Victorian government, but then they booed the vaccine. They basically booed science. Let's have a listen.
With vaccinations on the way, rolling out in many countries around the world, it's now a time for optimism and hope for the future.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had much time for the tennis crowd, but that is...
out of order.
What do you make of that, Tara? What are they doing?
Well, I just think, you know, without the Victorian government, they wouldn't have been there. So it's slightly ironic.
So you're going to do both? We want to clown both?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? A prize, please.
A case of Brick Lane, Tara. It's
well
perfect
done,
for the weekend. It's bloody
legend.
Good beer. You
knock yourself out, Tara.
Well done.
Have a ball. Mindy's on the line. Mindy, who do you want to clown?
I want to clown the doctor that gave 4 times the vaccine to the aged care residents.
Yes, yeah. This is the aged care residents apparently hadn't had enough training.
No. We've only had, like, you know, 6 months to get ourselves prepared for the vaccine.
Every other country in the world's been vaccinated, but we had to wait to get the vaccine right,
yeah.
And it still wasn't enough time to train. Put it this way, if your doctor has to train to learn how to inject someone...
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's a great doctor. Have we got a comment there?
Hi, everybody.
We do. Here he is.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
The most rewarding part was when he gave me my money.
Good on you, Mindy.
Nice one.
Thanks for the call. Shirley's on the line. Oh, God.
Oh,
Shirley again. You're
nice.
Not going to clown me, are you, Shirley?
No, Mick and Dave and Team Roy, I'm just ringing up to say thank you for the lovely flowers I received this afternoon.
Oh, you got
awesome.
Them? We shelled out from that. I made the guys put into their own pockets for that.
Yep, out of your own hard earned.
Because you said we hadn't given you the prizes that you'd won, but at least the flowers have got through, okay?
That's right. Thank you very much. Well, they were lovely, Mick.
All right, Shirley, and I apologise again for bagging out Ash Barty.
No, that's all right, Mick.
I've taken it on board. I had a bad day and I realised I was bagging a national treasure. Not on.
Yeah,
thank you for pointing out.
She is a treasure.
Well, and she'll be back, no doubt. Good on you, Shirley.
Well done,
Shirley. Hey, what are you doing on the weekend, Shirley?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, just housework mainly, Mick. That's about all.
Well, if you need a hand, Dave can come around and help out.
No, I'll be fine.
Oh,
thank
you.
Good
on you, Shirley.
Okay, bye. Take care.
What a sweetheart.
One of my favourite regular calls.
Me too.
She does get angry, as we know.
Like
she can do it. Tiger Woods. I'd like to clown Tiger Woods for driving off the road. And,
wow.
Once again, found himself in the trees with a downhill lie. Okay. No worries. Hey, what about the bloke who did a burnout in the car park of Hungry Jack's because he couldn't get a soft serve ice cream?
The aggressive act by the driver would have probably sent smoke into the fast food restaurant. At this stage, it's not known if workers were overcome by the toxic fumes. After about 30 seconds, the burnout continued as the vehicle left a trail of black rubber through On the Run's car park. It's understood the driver ordered a soft serve ice cream at Hungry Jack's, but when they didn't have any, he was angry and did the burnout.
As I've said, let's pray that man never becomes a Mr. Whippy Van driver. Oh, that's going to be burnout. Real quick drop off for the kids.
Oh, yeah. wait up.
Be like a pit stop.
Yeah.
Be just chucking soft serve ice creams black out.
Toxic
as
smoke.
As he takes off. Well, 133353, give us a call. Got time for one more in this break. I'd like to say Chappelle Corby.
Oh, Chappelle.
Oh, we've got a caller. I think we had. Oh, we don't have one. Here we go. The Dancing with the Stars for recruiting Chappelle Corby has a contestant. And Dave, I did promote this joke earlier.
Oh, this is the joke. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you promoted earlier in the show, so listen up. This is a good joke.
What I would like to say is,
here we go.
Chappelle Corby, she'll be on Dancing with the Stars, and she's already. Her first dance will be the cha-cha to Boogie Woogie Boogie Board from Company B.
Yes.
If you heard that right. She'll be dancing the cha-cha to Boogie Woogie Boogie Board from Company B. How dare you, Dave? Never boing me. Never. Yellow card, Dave. 1-3-3-5-3.
Get involved. Cloud of the week.
Boogie Woogie.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Paul Stanley coming up from Kiss, Mary Custis and Effie as well. Cloud of the week, 133353.
Yes, get involved. So much to get through. Barry's on the line. Barry, who do you want to clown?
You, Mick.
What for?
That friggin' joke. That was pathetic. Come
it's
on.
Fun. Chappelle Corby.
Chappelle Corby, that was terrible.
No, hang on, mate.
hang on.
For anyone who missed it, I always said Chappelle will be her first dance will be to Boogie Woogie Boogie Board from Company B. Oh, the crowd loved it, Barry.
Yeah, your crowd.
All right, Barry, no brick lane for you.
Oh, no, case of brick lane.
What?
No, Barry, you've got a case of brick lane for the weekend. You'll love that. It's the draft, which is even better. So well done, man.
Hey, Adam, yeah, good on you, Barry. Bit of a knob, but I'll allow it. Hey, Adam Rosenbach was on the show. He brought together a great clown. He wanted to clown the cover band. Who were doing a cover of a song that shouldn't have been covered by a male singer.
Here's
the Divinyls, I Touch Myself.
Classic. Chrissy Amphlett, one of the greatest front women of rock.
Sexy, right?
Oh, man.
Hot, sexy.
Got it all.
And you go, wow, what a front woman. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he saw it with a band, cover band led by a male. He said it was not quite as seductive.
Oh, okay.
We have a listen.
I don't want anybody else. Because when I think about you, oh, I touch myself. Yeah, I don't want anyone else.
No.
No one.
No dude should be singing
when I think
that.
About you, I touch myself.
Well, thanks, sir.
Middle note, that will never be my karaoke song. 133353, people. Phone lines open.
You got it. Get involved. It is Cloud of the Week.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
Hey, we're still smack bang in the middle of Clown of the Week. 133353. Can I clown Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga? What's
I do.
There?
I want to clown Lady Gaga. Well, overnight, while she's in Italy filming something, her dog walker was out walking her dogs.
Gotcha.
I think they're three French bull terriers or quite exotic dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her dog handler shot four times.
Oh.
The dog walker shot four times in hospital, struggling, fighting for life. Two dogs missing. Here's how it was reported.
Gaga was in Rome during the brazen dog napping. She feels somewhat helpless in Italy, but is praying for Ryan, Koji, and Gustav. A $500,000 reward is now being offered for Koji and Gustav's safe return. No questions asked.
Okay, now I've got a couple of issues with you. She's offered a $500,000 reward for the return of the dogs.
Yes.
No question asked.
Yeah.
There's a guy fighting for his life in hospital. He's been shot four times.
Yeah, drive-by.
I reckon the cops might want to ask a couple of questions. Just give me my... There's a guy, honestly...
I know, he's on a gurney right now.
Charged with walking her dogs. She's forgotten him. She's brushed him to one side and said, here's $500,000, I mean, just return the dogs and we'll forget it all
happened.
What
about the handler?
You can't do that. You know what, I'm a fan of Lady Gaga.
You are.
I like her work.
You do.
But that is bang out of order to go, there's a human fighting for his life in hospital.
The handler.
Who was doing her job.
No questions
and
asked.
And it doesn't even come up in the conversation.
You know what that is from Lady Gaga? That's Shallow. That's the name of the song, Nick.
But what are you doing, Lady Gaga? You can't be doing
terrible.
That. All right, let's get on with it. Ben's on the line. Ben.
Hello, Mickey.
Hey, who do you want to clown?
Oh, I want to clown James for making his partner pay half for their anniversary.
Get in here, James.
Producer
this is
James.
A good clowning. So our producer, one of our producers, James, had a big weekend at Promenade Crown.
Crown Promenade.
Not the proper crown, the like kitty crown.
The budget one.
The budget.
We had a great time. Studio apartment, city view.
Studio apartment, city view, anniversary treat, and you made your partner go 50-50, split the bill.
That's
down
terrible.
The middle.
It was more of an agreement.
It was an agreement, but it was a tawdry arrangement and not a really great thing to do for an anniversary. Or for it to be a present or a gift.
Yeah.
Well, Mickey, it sort of takes the focus off Dave's tight arsery a little bit, doesn't it?
How dare you?
No,
you've
well, lost yourself. That's a good point. Hey, slab of brick lane for you, Ben. Slab of brick lane, the draft, now available at Dan Murphy's. It's a ripper. But you split it all 50-50.
Yep.
And you feel okay with that. You don't feel in any way you've emasculated yourself.
To back up Ben's point, it's better than just getting takeaway Indian in the Dangerous Dave kind of
Why
style.
Why has it all become a roast on me all of a sudden?
It's not a competition, guys. What I'm saying is it would have been a nice thing for you to do to say...
Sorry, that is my fault.
Okay, get out.
I apologise.
Get out.
Hey, no, that's just part of...
Be your other half. It'll be Crown Promenade sending through another bill.
I'm ready to... I can drop my trump card here.
What's your trump card?
So, for Christmas...
Oh, you can save this, can you?
Yeah, I can save this. Mm. Thank you, Lucy, for reminding me. For Christmas, she did get quite an expensive hairdryer from Dyson, from yours truly.
Because it's a Christmas present.
Yeah, that's what you
that's
do.
That's what you expected to do,
it's the
mate.
Season of gift-giving.
But what do you want to do? What did you want to do? Go in halves on your own present? I'm getting you a hairdryer for Christmas. I'll need $200, please.
A Dyson hairdryer.
Yeah, but so what?
They're well sought after.
Oh, yeah, they're a bit more expensive. Yeah, but still.
And that was only a couple of months ago. And I've paid half for the anniversary as well.
Let me say.
You're all pattern forming here.
I was going to make a goop joke, but I thought the better of it. Now, did you or did you not say that you did actually end up paying the lion's share? How? What?
For the buffet. So dropped around about $40 each. So that's, edging up on 100. For some
Get
chicken
off.
Sausages and
Get
hash
out.
Browns. Okay.
It reflects poorly on you in this program.
Yeah.
Go away. Okay. Go and have a... Do you make it up to her? Do
okay,
something
sure.
nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Derek's on the line. Derek, who do you want to clown?
I want to clown the whole sad, sex-starved, very unintelligent cast of Married at First Sight.
I thought you were going to say cast of Malloy.
Yeah,
unintelligent,
but,
sex-starved. Yeah. We tick all those boxes. Our resident expert, Whitney's online. Whitney, what was the audio you brought to us from MAFS this week?
Well, this is from an idiot called Bryce.
Yeah.
Who answered too honestly.
Answered too honestly. It was a question box question, and you've actually put a buzzer next to everything he said that you should never say to a woman. Go.
Yeah. Am I your usual type?
It's a tough question. I'll be completely honest. Not 100%. I've always gone for the blonde hair, blue eyes, tan kind of girl, and someone slightly usually taller. But definitely when I first saw you, I was like, okay, Not my type, but you have got blonde hair. She's not ugly.
Oh, the big finish. She's not ugly. Whoa. Well said. Hey, coming up, how close are we? Is
not
the satellite
we are in connection with?
We're so close.
Paul Stanley from KISS will be joining us in minutes. Stand by for that. Wow. Still lots to come. This is Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
We've got time for one more quick clown. John's on the line. You want to clown yourself, John?
Yeah, Mick, I drove home from work the other day, stopped in a Coles and grabbed some food and walked home. When I got home, I realised the car wasn't in the driveway and shit myself because I thought someone had stolen my car. So I went inside and asked the wife to call the police line to report it stolen, only to then realise that I left the car at down at Carl's.
Oh, you're an idiot.
John,
get off. Give him a slab. I don't think you need it.
Case of
by
Brick
the
Lane,
way, coming your way. Yeah, yeah. All right, hey, time quickly for a bit of this.
Time for another edition of Is It Really News?
News coming from Hasbro. Mr. Potato Head has been rebranded Potato Head.
This has been another edition of Is It Really News?
Okay.
I'm not making that up. That's a news story that came across my desk today.
What do you mean?
There's audio. We were sent. This is how the news story broke.
Mr. Potato Head is getting a new gender-neutral name. Hasbro says starting this year, boxes of the potato-shaped plastic toy will instead just be labeled Potato Head. The toy maker says the toy has been around for 70 years and needed a modern makeover.
It's gender fluid.
I'm not happy.
Ms. Potato Head.
Oh, come on.
Is it a he? Is it a she? Is it they? They is a pronoun now, I believe, commonly used for the potato head.
I'm not happy about that.
It's a potato.
Of course it is.
It's a vegetable.
Yeah.
I would have thought it's genital. It's got no genitalia anyway.
No.
Last time I looked, and not saying I looked, but cause that sounds a bit creepy.
You weirdo.
But I couldn't tell you what Mr. Potato Head or Mr. Potato Head. Somewhere on the spectrum. We're all on the spectrum, Dave.
Of course.
You know, you're out there 75%-y.
Sure. Okay. I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or not. What are you?
Well, I'm more up one end, but open to offers. Just be honest.
All right. Are we...
Well, come a cropper in Thailand. Can I just say this? I love everybody. I love everybody.
Me too.
As long as you're happy. Here's
my
thing.
Can't we all just get along?
As long as everyone's happy and no one's getting hurt, can we all just do what we want to do, please? Hey, by the way, and Hasbro have just announced they'll be changing their name to Hasperson.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
Hit it! You are the best! You are the best!
Our next guest is one of the single most recognisable frontmen in rock. Paul Stanley. A band that changed the face of rock, sold over 100 million albums, and broke the mold of live rock. With the previous postponement of the 2019 End of the Road Australian Tour, buckle up, KISS Army. Yes! The Rock and Roll Hall of Famers have marked November and December in their calendar this year to bring their iconic live rock show back to Oz one final time. And to tell us all about it, please welcome to the show, the Star Child. Stanley.
Wow.
Welcome.
Rock and roll royalty.
Hello, Paul. It's an absolute pleasure. I can't tell you how important this is for me to speak to you. Growing up, KISS, out of every band I ever followed and from a young age, no one had a bigger impact on my childhood than KISS. I had pictures of you guys on my bedroom walls. It was like wallpaper. It was amazing. And I can't wait to see you in concert. Later in the year.
For me, it's like light at the end of the tunnel. In the States, we've been devastated by the pandemic and by COVID. I can only say kudos to you for controlling and really limiting the spread in a way that other countries are envious of. We've been in a virtual lockdown for a year.
Wow.
So for us to finally be able to look at a ray of hope,
yeah.
And what better than finally being able to come to your shores and to do the show, you know, we're so proud of. This is a magnificent behemoth of a show. It's everything that you would expect from us and more.
It'll be a great time to see you when Kiss have been locked up, caged up for a year, and not being able to scratch that itch, which is live performance. I'm getting we're going to get one with the lot. Mm. I have to take you back, I think, to your first ever tour of Australia, and you played my hometown of Melbourne, and you played at a place called Waverley Park, a big outdoor arena.
Yes, I have photos.
You have photos? Okay.
Yeah, I do.
I was a young boy at the time, and I asked my mum if I could go and see Kiss in concert. She said, no, you're too young. So I went to my bedroom, and just before I slammed the door shut, I said, I have no mother. Slam. And then locked myself in my room for a couple of days. That's how badly I took it. So can you ask my mum if I can go this time?
Yeah, I don't know, you know, only if you've been good.
That's right.
You know, I remember that so well because that was tagged as Kisteria.
Yeah, correct.
Our first trip to Australia, for me, was mind-boggling and eye-opening.
You've always been innovators. You've come out here with orchestras. You've
That's
played
right.
shows for
masks
people.
On, masks
with
off.
Masks on, masks off. You've played makeup. A couple of things I want to get to the bottom of. The first time, the decision to make, you're sitting around the band. How did you go, hey, guys, you know what we should do? Whack on some makeup. How did that decision come about?
We always wanted to be the band we never saw. We wanted to take everything that had been done and and take it further. Again, we wanted to give the audience something that we thought was lacking. So the makeup really was just an extension of us. It wasn't a costume, so to speak.
Was it for privacy? Was it so you could walk down the street? Was it like a superpower that allowed you to live a dual life?
I wish I could say we were brilliant and we thought of that, but no. Actually, the opposite. There was a time where to be this massive band and to be able to go to the newsstand and pick up magazines that you're on the cover of was very bizarre. So no, we didn't plan that out. Mm. We just wanted people to see this force of nature, these omnipotent personalities.
Yeah.
We just thought that seeing us like this at that time would dilute, you know, what we were trying to embody.
It got me, and in fact, I got beaten up on my bicycle riding through Mount Eliza wearing Gene Simmons makeup by older boys. So that was another formative experience from my childhood. Paul, I was also the first one because my father was an airline pilot, and he went over to Japan, and I got the first copy of Kiss Alive 2.
Oh my gosh.
In Australia.
Yeah.
So I had it in Australia. He brought it back for me, and I used to charge my friends. I probably owe you a royalty here, but I used to charge my friends who would line up around the block, and I'd let them in, and for a dollar they were allowed to hear one song off the new Kiss Alive 2
Entrepreneur.
Album. So that's just an insight into the kind of influence you had on a group of young boys growing up.
Well, for me, my first trip to Australia was just eye-opening, and I found myself thinking I could live here, and I must confess that I did go look at houses, and then it just didn't seem practical. But for us to be able to come back, especially after we had to postpone and cancel the tour really at the 11th hour, I was hoping the doctors were going to give me the green light, and they didn't. So,
well, we've got you this
can't
time.
Wait to have you back. Paul, I read recently, because we often play a lot of Foo Fighters here on this station, along with Kiss as well, and Dave Grohl, one of the great frontmen like yourself. Was it true that your kids went to the same elementary school? So you do school drop-off, and there's Dave Grohl, there's Paul Stanley. Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would see Dave, and we would talk in the mornings, and our kids went to school for a few years together.
Right.
Dave, he's a rock star, and the band is fabulous.
And he was a fan of yours too, Paul. Yeah. So he'd wake up in the morning, he'd have the Kiss posters on his wall, he'd, you know, pay respect to your band. So it must be an honour for you to know that, you know, Kiss are an inspiration to bands like the Foo Fighters.
Absolutely. You know, all of us have influences and inspirations.
Mm.
When you look at some of the people who cite Kiss, it's a huge compliment. The Foo Fighters are fabulous. Dave is an amazing performer, an amazing writer, singer. all of the above. So, yeah, we had fun, you know, at that morning drop-off.
Yes. Well, he's doing it, but does he look good in makeup? That's what I want to know. Dave, give us the dates
we
and the
are
times
super
for
excited.
This extraordinary tour coming up.
So November 14 at RAC Arena in Perth, it all kicks off. That's followed Wednesday, November 17 in Adelaide at the Entertainment Centre. A couple of shows in Melbourne, a Rod Laver Arena, November 20 and 21. Kudos Bank Arena in Sydney on the 26th of November. Brisbane Entertainment Centre, that'll be on Tuesday, November 30. And you're making your way to Far North Queensland. Shout out to our Townsville listeners as well.
Yeah.
Performing at Queensland Country Bank Stadium December 4, which will be an outdoor show. Pre-sale tickets will be available through Telstra Plus. That's from 10 a.m. local time. That'll be this coming Tuesday.
Yep.
And then general public tickets will go on sale at midday next Friday
go
through
early.
tickettech.com.au. You don't want to miss out.
Paul, can you tell my mum to let me go and see you for this concert,
you need permission.
Please?
I will write you a note.
You're a good man. All
so
right,
good.
We're going to kick it off now with one of my favourite tracks, track number one from Destroyer.
Let's do it, Detroit Rock City. The
Here
great Paul Stanley
Thank
from
you,
Kiss.
Paul.
Thanks for joining us on Malloy.
Thank you.
This is Malloy.
Chris is on the line. Chris, we've had a load of calls. A good interview and great to have him back, yeah?
Yeah.
You went and saw them last time?
I've seen them every tour since 1980.
1980. We're in Sydney, yep.
Yeah, Sydney at the showgrounds there. I've seen every iteration of the band with different members and stuff except for Mark St. John, but I've seen makeup, non-makeup. And I never thought I was going to see them again.
And you saw them three nights in a row, I believe.
Yeah, Melbourne at Rod Laver, then they put another show on at the Palais, and last minute rang the theatre. I said, look, I wasn't going to go, but can you get me some tickets? And they said, yeah, come on down. We drove all the way from Pakenham. Kiss Central.
Slammer Brick Lane coming your way, well done, big Chris. Fella. And did This Is True, Song Whisperers joined us. No music yet. Don't give him
right
music
okay.
yet.
I'll just, ready to go.
We'll talk before.
Okay. Yep.
Did he or did he not say to me at the end of that, come along, I'll get your tickets and you can come backstage
and
meet the band?
Yes! Correct. He did say that.
Cop that, everybody. Mickey.
It was to all of us. I
think it was me.
Will you paint your face?
I will. Yeah, like Barbara Cartland. No, well, as I said, what we heard there was the fine work of Peter Chris on the drum kit.
Yes.
And I've always felt conflicted.
Okay.
About, Eric can't ever work for me. You need the big cat. You need the big cat up the back.
Oh, yeah.
And, now they can't do Beth, I suppose, during the show, which is one of the best.
His.
Has been my karaoke song.
Beth.
Time for this.
All right.
Jay Mondo, synopsis, please.
This guy is alone in a crowd. He's also dealing with a serious respiratory condition. Mm. His mornings are pretty good. He feels fit. Throughout the day, he flirts with a form of theism. Perhaps it's mono, perhaps poly. Jeez. And he spends his nights asking people to set him alight. Despite all of this, he is focused on his forward motion and is intent on covering the distance between two points in the most efficient manner.
Come on, baby, light my fire. The Doors.
Fire.
Mickey. Come on, baby.
It's not the Doors.
It's not.
No, I'm sorry.
Because people have been picking you off easily lately.
Yeah.
Do you feel a bit like you've let the show down?
No, I would like to say that the Triple M audience, the Malloy audience in particular, is really smart.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing.
That's a given, but I think you have been picked off easily. Dave,
off
you'll probably get it.
Something like fire, did you say? Was it?
He spends his nights asking people to set him alight.
The only thing I can think of is... Billy Joel.
Dave, yellow card. That's a yellow. It's a yellow on a Friday.
All right.
I will take you out.
Okay.
You'll be replaced before the end of the program.
Happily.
It's not Billy Joel.
Okay.
All right. 1-4-3-5-3, people.
This is Malloy. Time to gather back around your wireless, people. Here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
Coming up, one of my favourite people and friend of the show, Mary Kustos.
Oh, how great.
Bringing with her Effie.
Oh, man.
I believe Effie's been watching maths.
Oh, good. We need a woman to come on and tell
and
us
tell
how
us
it is.
What the hell is going on. A week in review will be up and running.
Yes.
I have a feeling there will be a team meet, final one for the week. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but first...
Jay, the song whisperer.
Check in with the whisperer. As I said, been picked off pretty easily. of late. I'm not saying he's dropped his bundle. I'm just saying that, I don't know.
Yeah,
a little off. He's not in career best form.
Oh, well,
let's see how he goes today. Synopsis, please.
All right. This guy is alone in a crowd. He's also dealing with a serious respiratory condition. His mornings are pretty good. He feels fit. Throughout the day, he flirts with a form of theism. Perhaps it's mono, perhaps poly.
Theism.
And theism, a belief in a higher power.
Thank you.
And he spends his nights asking people to set him alight. Despite all of this, he is focused on his forward motion and is intent on covering the distance between two points in the most efficient manner.
Sounds like an idiot. What's he like? Is he young? Is he old? Is he...
Could be anything.
Is he in care?
Is he... Is he praying to theism?
What are you thinking? Do you like him?
Do I like him?
Yeah.
Do you think
he's a good guy?
He could be. He could be. Well, it's tough
very
to...
Very vague song,
it's tough
bro.
To... Well, listen.
Can you find good in him?
Sure, absolutely you could. Yeah.
Well, let's see what Ed thinks. Ed, song please.
Mickey, Dave, Song Whisperer. I think that I've gone the wrong way. But...
No, back yourself in.
No,
Ed,
mate.
Come on, Ed.
You can do this.
I don't think this song's been on Triple M for 15 or more
what
years.
What is it?
So I could. Man in Motion, John Barr.
Ed. What is going on?
Wow.
Ed, okay, not only is it a song we've never played, you're also the first caller. Things don't look good for you right now.
It's not a good sign.
Ed, did you hear...
Dave with a high-pitched voice, I don't know.
That's right. Ed, did you hear Mick ask Light My Fire and Dange guess we didn't start the fire, and so you thought, I'm going with St. Elmo's fire?
fire.
Is that what happened?
Easily led.
Sorry, Ed, not correct.
No, okay, case of bricklaying,
though. Should we give him a...
Great.
I like Ed. We should give him a chance to win something substantial.
Glad you've called through now, because we're cleaning up Mick's desk. There's been 3.5 years of stuff.
We've got to get rid of stuff.
Detritus. Yeah, we've got to clean out. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you have the choice of... A case of bricklaying, which is a bloody good beer.
Which
by
are
the
good.
Way.
It's the draft available at Dan Murphy's. It's a bloody good draft.
Or the mystery prize.
The mystery prize object from my desk.
What's it?
And it could be anything. There's some good stuff there, I'll admit that. And someone got a very beautiful picnic blanket yesterday.
They did from bricklaying. Yeah, yeah.
They did.
Yeah. What are you thinking, Ed?
Thinking music. Look. It's Friday. I'd love me beer, but I'll tell you what, Mickey, hit me with your deck.
Congratulations, Ed. You've just won yourself a campaign 2016 Road to the White House Donald Trump vinyl figure.
Yes. Is it a bobblehead? Is it a bobblehead?
No, the head doesn't move.
The head doesn't move. It's not even a bobblehead.
No.
But it'll take quite a place on your desk, on your dashboard, if you're allowed. Are you allowed to do that?
I guess you can. It's
quite
big,
though. It's still a collector item. Don't take it out of the box.
It is still in the box. One day, it'll be like one of those Steve Austin dolls, which are now worth like $1 million if they're still in the box, Ed.
Ah, well done, Ed.
Ed, you made a bold choice.
Prize is yours.
I'm sure you regret it, but that is from my desk. I'll tell you what, I'll sign the box.
There you go.
Love it.
Well done. Good on you, mate. Well done.
All right,
we'll move on. Casey's on the line. Casey, who do you think it is?
Mickey Boy, the legend. I reckon it's got to be Cakes.
Cakes. Now, this is good spoken word, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is great spoken word.
Underrated band, Cakes.
Do you think so?
I do.
What else did they want? What other titles do they have?
I'll get back
Short
to
skirt, long hair.
Oh, there you go. That's the one. And they also did the cover, I Will Survive.
And what do you
which
think?
Is great. It's not correct.
It's not correct.
Sorry,
Casey.
Case
of Bricklaying coming your way.
You've got it,
mate, Casey. We've got
for the weekend, your weekend is sorted with a case of the draft.
Oh, very nice.
Hold on, enjoy. Vanessa's on the line. Vanessa.
Hello, Mickey and Dave. How are you going?
What are you thinking?
I think I'm off track too, Mick. I think I'm going way off track here. I'm doing a Guns N' Roses patient.
Guns N' Roses.
Oh, we do play Gunners. In the conversation.
Yeah.
Whistling song, this one.
Oh, is it? Can we do whistling songs one day? We just play all whistling songs?
Yeah, sure.
Putting on the list.
But today's not the day, Vanessa. Sorry.
Bad luck, Vanessa. Thanks for calling.
All right, Tony's on the line. Tony.
How are you going, boys?
What do you think, buddy?
I'm thinking Silverchair, Straight Line.
Walking a straight line, that's the distance between 2 points.
It's the shortest distance between 2 points, and breathing from a hole in my lung, I would say, is a serious respiratory condition.
Oh, my God, we're on.
Correct.
You got it. Yes, Tony.
You got it for a Friday, Tony, in Cronulla. You've got yourself $100 to spend this weekend, so go shopping on us. We'll get you some vouchers. Case of Brick Lane, the draft, which is available at Dan Murphy's, is coming your way as well.
I'm going to play a bloody good song.
It is indeed one of Australia's finest. It's Silverchair, Straight Lines up next. Merry Christmas. This is Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
And joining us right now in our Sydney studios, it's Mary Custis.
Hi, guys. Boy.
For the first time this year on the program, good on you, Mary.
Well done.
Always one of our favourite guests, friend of the show, I like to call you,
which
is our inner sanctum. Great to catch up with you. I caught up with your mum the other day.
Yeah, she loves you.
She is so delightful. Mm. I was having a coffee in a well-known cafe in Richmond, and she came up and gave me a pastry for no out of the blue. She was so lovely and sat next to me, and we talked for about 20 minutes. Oh, what a woman.
Yeah, she loves you, and she loves your brother too.
Well, she does, and it was fantastic. When are your plans for Melbourne? I'm guessing there's a comedy festival coming up. You'll have to.
There is.
It'll be like a royal visit from you, won't it? You'll have
there
to be
is.
In town for that.
I'm coming to Melbourne for the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and I'm doing shows as part of that. I'm doing two, and I've just announced a third. So that's at
the Yarraville
Friday,
Club, it'll be.
Correct, Friday the 9th and Saturday the 10th of April.
Awesome. And I hope all the borders will be up and open, because it's been one of those years, and people really need to go out and see some live comedy, have a shared experience. You've been in Sydney for most of the lockdown. We've been in Melbourne. Sydney, I think, apart from an awkward start, I think the Ruby Princess didn't get you out of the blocks great.
No.
But on the whole, it's been pretty well handled in Sydney.
It has. I feel for Melbourne because apart from a handful of people I love here in Sydney, but most of the people I love are in Melbourne, and you guys did it tough. And as you know, we've just spoken about it, my mother's 81.
Mm.
And, she was on her own. And she's very positive, so she took it well. But it was hard not to see family, and the phone only gets you so far,
That's right. Eventually you have to line up in person. And how was it? How did you do it? Did you find it a creative time for you? Were you
Like most people, I was literally in the middle of doing shows at the Brisbane Comedy Festival when I came off stage and saw that everything had stopped.
Yeah.
I was halfway through a tour last year. And so that happened. And unlike some, I did not pivot. I just had no interest in pivoting. I think I was psychologically winded like the rest of the world. I was just like, what just happened? And
so you just copped it. You just went, fine, that's it.
I just copped it, sweet. And then I just homeschooled my kid.
How did you find that? Yeah. Were you good? And how old is your child now, please?
I've got a daughter, Jamie, who was six at the time.
Yep.
She's now seven. And I got to take, she goes to a Montessori school.
Okay.
I mean, it's just genius. It's all the stuff I like.
Can you tell for our audience who would be unfamiliar with the Montessori school what the fundamental difference is? Because it's a very unique concept. Hmm.
It is. It was discovered by a woman called Maria Montessori in the 1800s, who was a paediatrician. She used to work with disabled children.
Yep.
And she realised that the whole industrial age way of teaching children was not bespoke enough and did not play at all to the curiosity, the natural endless curiosity of a child. So Montessori, they do, they're very much led by the thing they want to work on at the time. They get across the whole curriculum. But they're very much, everything is childlike, in size.
Yes.
They've got sinks. They've got to take care of the environment. It's very holistic. And it creates great citizens, And it's very wooden. A lot of wooden things. No plastic, glass, needles, knives. They learn how to work with all of that.
Wow.
So it was, I'm not going to say abacus. They're a bit more involved than that.
It's an abacus.
But it was a lot of very creative
sounds,
stuff.
Sounds very Luddite.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm sending my boys to military college.
Oh, God.
So yes, I think, is that the opposite of Montessori?
Yeah, there's some discipline for you.
Well, it worked for me. Tough school's a good school as far as I'm concerned. So homeschooling, so you had to teach in that style,
in the
Montessori style.
Which is fine by me because it was all very project-oriented and it was really creative, and I think I liked it more than she did.
And I'm guessing any girl of yours is going to be creative and theatrical. Is that fair?
She is. She's very, at peace with making statements and being flamboyant, which is, you know, yep. It's good. That's also cultural, though.
Yes.
The Greeks, you know, they're not shy.
Well, I love the Greeks, and I spent a lot of time in their company, having been someone who grew up as a child in the Carlton area. The Italians and the Greeks basically raised me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't have been happier. I remember at the time, though, even then when I was growing up, and this is going to uni in about 1984, 85, they were still considered New Australians. It just drives me crazy now that was such a state. And I just think of them, I always have, as being here as long as I have.
Yeah.
And
it's such a tired term, that New Australian thing.
Yeah,
I don't think it does it exist anymore?
I don't
think
so.
But it was something that got thrown around when we were old and stale Australians.
Yeah, exactly right.
Let's face it, we needed fresh blood.
Of course we did.
The contribution has been significant. Including from our next guest. You've hooked this up. Is this true? We're going to speak with Effie after the break?
Totally.
I cannot wait. Let's first say goodbye to Mary and plug the gigs again,
please. Yeah, all right.
Please.
So the show is Hello, Good Thanks, Better Out Than In, which is happening.
See, I'm laughing already. That's kind of
the Adelaide Fringe Festival, which will be amazing, March 18 to 20.
Yes.
Then, as we mentioned before, the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the Yarraville Club with three extra shows being added, which is awesome. Sydney Comedy Festival at the Concourse Theatre from April 24 and May 8, also at the Factory Theatre, part of the Sydney Comedy Festival. Go to maryandeffie.com.
Mary. Always great to catch up. I'll say good day to Con on the way home this afternoon and probably have a drink with him.
So, at Dimitri's.
At Dimitri's Feast in Richmond, is the greatest Greek restaurant in Australia as far
Fantastic.
As I'm concerned.
All right. Mary Kustos there. Up next, though, don't go anywhere. Effie to join us.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
As we mentioned before with Mary Kustos, but the show Hello, Good Thanks, Better Out Than In is happening all across Australia. You don't want to miss this March to through to May, in fact. You go to maryandeffie.com for all the ticket information. Should be fantastic. And Mick, we're very thrilled right now to be joined.
She's on the line. It's Effie. How are you, Effie? Well,
hello, Good Thanks Legends.
It's great to
fellow
have you.
Tired ass. It's Dave.
Thank you, Effie.
Is that true?
It's good to know I'm not alone.
Well, no, frugal, I think is the word, looking to save money always.
And you're always looking for a bargain, are you, Effie?
Oh, look, I think what Dave's trying to say is people like us have pensioner tendencies. You know, we like to pinch it, we like to budget, we like to know exactly where it's going and whether it's worth it or not.
I like the sound of that. Now, I have to ask what you've been up to. I believe you, like the rest of Australia, have been glued to the television and watching the new series of Maths come down. What have you made of it? Have you got a favourite? What's going on?
A favourite. You know, I watch it just for the outrage.
Yeah.
Just every bit of frustration we might have had, particularly in this last year.
Yeah.
You know, you just put it towards these people, these, you know, innocent somewhat. But then they give the quotes, they say the things that you go, you didn't say that. You know, you can't mean that. There's someone watching you and then there's a country watching you on top of that.
Would you ever, if you were approached, is it the type of thing you could see yourself doing?
Look, there's a bit of dirty talk that Channel 9 are going to do a celebrities Maths.
What?
Oh, man.
There's talk. I don't know. Is it happening? Is it not? Look, as you guys know, I'm recently married.
Okay, so.
But then COVID put a lot of pressure on a lot of us, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You could be back in the
hunt. So stand by on that.
I want to play you a couple of grabs from Maths so that you may have heard or you may not. Well, the first one we play on the show is Bryce, who's talking, and I want to see your reaction to this. I don't know if you have a type, but Bryce certainly has a type, and I don't think he explained it very well to his partner.
Am I your usual type?
It's a tough question. I'll be completely honest, not 100%. I've always gone for the blonde hair, blue eyes, tan kind of girl, and someone usually taller.
Oh, my God.
Definitely when I first saw you, I was like, okay, not my type, but you have got blonde hair. She's not ugly.
Whoa. Big finish there.
I mean, you know, look, she asked. She asked the question. You can't dictate what the answer's going to be.
Right.
If you ask the question, you got to be prepared for any answer. And he gave an answer that was devastating, you know, to her because she is blonde.
That's
obviously
right.
She's, the major box is ticked.
That's right.
There's plenty of other things that, you know, she's, you know, he likes him tall, he likes him this. I mean, what? I mean, hello. I mean, we all have fantasies, but, you know, wake up, Australia.
He set the bar pretty high for himself, has Bryce. Is this Sam? I think we're going to play Sam now, who's talking to his partner.
Yeah, and more Shakespeare.
I have to ask, it's been a while since I've seen you, Effie. How are you going in the boob department? Are you,
I've still got him. Well, I am married to a plastic surgeon, so, you know, I might have to upgrade if I'm going to, you know, have any fantasies about Sam.
Get some retreads. All right, well, look, here comes Sam right now, and have a listen to what he likes in a woman.
I like a girl who has a curvaceous body, like a bum, boobs. It's frustrating for me because it's like, I need a girl with boobs. And it's like, not everyone has big boobs.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? So it's very frustrating.
Does the fact that I've got a body like a hot dog matter?
Ooh.
Wow.
Jeez. Frustrating.
Body like a hot dog.
Seriously, he was using that as much as, you know, unprecedented. In that one paragraph, he flogged that. He was genuinely frustrating for him not to have someone with curves and a bum. And instead, he's looking at someone who is admitting that she looks like a hot dog. I mean, I just think, you know, going back to what we said about Melissa and Bryce, I mean, if he's going to say that, what if she starts actually getting more specific about hot dogs in general, if you know what I'm saying, and what she likes?
Maybe she's
it's a two-way street, that one.
Looks a body type more like a kebab. Who knows? You know what I can't help thinking about now is the celebrity maths. Who would you like to see in that? Yeah. Richard Wilkins got a massive wang, apparently.
Okay. Apparently.
Have you heard that?
Look, it's just talk. And you know, the fact that he's called Dickie, I mean, is that not the greatest irony of all, you know? Apparently he can wrap it around like some sort of, you know, bracelet or something.
What about Matt Preston? Would you like to see
with
Matt
the cravat? With the cravat.
Nude except for a cravat.
Exactly.
Hello.
How awesome would that be?
Larry Imger?
Oh, Larry's still, he's hanging in there, isn't he? I mean, his hair might not be, but his body is, that's for sure.
Right. Molly Meldrum. Okay, maybe we've gone too far.
Well, we want to broaden the demographic.
We do. It's a fit for all. Yep. You've got me thinking, Effie. Great to catch
so
up
good.
With you. Can't wait to see you live at the Adelaide Fringe Festival, live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, live at Sydney Comedy Festival. We've got all the dates. We'll put them out there. You're the best in the business. And book early, people. These shows will sell out. There is nothing surer. Good
on
you,
Effie.
Love yous, bad.
Back at ya. Mary Custis and Effie joining us. This is Malloy right here on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
You are listening to Malloy, Mick Malloy, all around Australia. Hey, by the way, missed any of today's show, and it's been real. We had Paul Stanley on earlier. And why don't you get the podcast, catch up with Listener, the Listener app available right now.
Very good. Very good. Just before we do that, I think I need to call a team meeting.
Oh, you're
so
not,
it's
are
a team meeting. Yeah.
Attention, all Malloy staff. Please attend the studio immediately for a team meet. Repeating, Mickey needs you in the studio ASAP.
Welcome, everybody. This is not a good way to finish the week, I understand.
What's wrong?
And now, so there's a bit of audio circulating around the station.
Yeah.
And it could only have been leaked from this
audio
office.
From the show.
It's audio from the show, but it's obviously been dubbed off and recorded, so it can't be done by anyone else. Mm. I heard it passing around, allegedly of me doing a fart on air.
Oh, yeah.
I beg your pardon, Dave.
What do you mean? What have you done? I didn't leak the story. I swear to God,
you're hearing
I did
this
not.
For the first time,
this is the first time.
Now, I'm denying this, by the way, and this has been tampered with in post, which means it might be Maddie.
Could be.
Sounds like it could be the work of Maddie on Pots and Pans. Probably finished Week in Review early and thought he'd try and get into my kitchen. Now, you play it and be a judge. Listen carefully.
Okay, let's see. I'll play this.
Now, this one caused a lot of trouble. I have to say, my nephews, you know, I had two young boys who were 16, 15. Now,
that's pretty comprehensive.
So if you send that out and say, have a listen, is Mick doing a fart on air, people will think it is, but it's not.
Mate, can we just hear just a little bit again?
Two young boys. Just haven't had that handy, did you, Dave?
Well,
it makes me think that you're...
I do remember that segment, and I wondered why you were standing on the chair.
Okay, yellow card, yellow card, yellow card. Whitney, you stay out of this. This is quite a rather unsavoury conversation. And I know why you're doing this, because you thought there was some kind of precedent set.
Well, that is true, and it's come to our attention that you appeared on, was it with Hughesy on Nova?
And Kate, I think it was. And Kate,
years
Kate
ago.
Wasn't there. I think I was filling in for Kate.
You're
on
filling
Nova.
In for Kate Langbrook.
This may have been, okay, guilty as charged on this one, but not the recent one.
All right, have a listen.
Did he try to pull out Ed?
The first thing he said this morning is, I'm not running.
That's what I think about you, Ray.
That's disgusting. There's the first audible flatulence we've had in 8 years.
Mick, have you been holding? Have you been holding that just for a perfect moment to punctuate your point?
Does it smell?
No.
Can we go to somewhere
Come
else?
Come on.
We need to leave the room.
Guys.
Right, that's enough.
Seriously.
Okay, well, that's, if you want to get to this item number two on the team meeting, you have let yourself down and the station down yesterday when you were called to account when you cut off ACDC.
Before. I've got that audio if you wanted to hear the original.
Let's have a listen to the audio.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you told me to do it.
Oh, yeah, but ACDC, this is Malloy on Triple M.
And then a listener rang up and was absolutely ropeable. Do you have that?
Yeah, it was Ben. Yeah.
Your mate Dave there cutting an ACDC song before it
changed. Wow.
What?
I asked him not to do it. Oh. I said that.
Before the Angus solo. How can you do that?
And are you ropeable?
Yeah, livid, mate. Absolutely livid. After a hard day in the office and I got to put up with that.
I mean, it's not only un-Australian, it's un-Triple Emmy.
Yeah.
And you've been here forever, and you thought before the Angus solo it was okay to go your own way. Now, this has gone to the highest. Am I right?
It has. There has been an internal investigation, and embarrassingly, Triple M has been forced into an apology.
Okay, let's have a listen to...
On Thursday, February 25th at 5:40 p.m. on the show Malloy, our disc jockey slash anchor, David Kirk Williams, known by a minimal number of fans as Dangerous Dave, faded the end of AC/DC's iconic Back in Black. Mr. Williams' actions were rash, thoughtless, and in violation of community standards. An investigation has found Mr. Williams acted alone and without any consultation or encouragement from the Malloy team. One witness, who cannot be named for privacy reasons, stated that National Film and Sound Archive inductee and Australia's little sweetheart, Mick Malloy, had no involvement whatsoever in this unfortunate event. Southern Cross Austereo, on behalf of the Triple M Network, the company's second favorite network, would like to unreservedly apologize for Mr. Williams' actions.
Oh, it gives us no great joy to do that, but, you know, occasionally you have to offer an apology. Do you understand?
I'm super embarrassed, and it won't happen again.
It won't happen again. Yeah. You see me in my office.
Oh, Mick.
Oh.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Another great week by Matty Dow on the Pots and Pans, putting together our week in review.
We started the week with the country's COVID vaccine rollout finally underway.
You know how I want to be vaccinated? I want to be shot in the ass with a tranquilizer dart from a moving car. And you don't tell me, so I'll just be going down the road, get a carton of milk.
Jesus. Tennis fans booed talk of the rollout at the Australian Open men's final.
With vaccinations rolling out in many countries around the world, it's now a time for optimism and hope for the future.
Hang on, what are they doing?
Well, they're booing science. It's a cure.
That's it. That's
like booing an ambulance. Oh, look, everyone, it's an ambulance. Boo! Look, everyone, it's Bishop Desmond Tutu.
Come on. Need booing.
Dave O'Neill joined us after delivering an inspirational speech at his local high school.
What were you asked to do?
Just talk for half an hour. It was like their first day back. Okay. And the woman said, make sure at the end you ask for questions because they're very interested in your media career. I got one question. This kid just goes, hey, mate, what do you reckon your BMI is?
Which brought the house down.
I pretend I couldn't hear him. I said, I don't know, mate, I drive an Audi.
This story in food news caused a little confusion.
A furious McDonald's customer has called the cops after missing the breakfast cutoff. She wanted a McMuffin and she wanted it badly, and then she's 911'd it and the police turned up. Do we have the other McDonald's story?
Well, there was another one about smoothies.
No, I want the one about the McMuffins. A woman went bonkers
over...
That's the McDonald's customer that you just read.
The same one!
Keep going.
Tuesday, Leno and Woodley were due to appear on the show. However, Frank Woodley was a late scratching.
I wonder if they've had a fight. I wonder if the show's over. I wonder if they're doing a solo albums.
Yeah, that's right.
They've gone this way before. I hope there's no trouble.
Sort of Simon and Garfunkel sort of style, isn't it?
Do you know what?
What?
I've got a really bad feeling.
And Leno didn't help with this wild speculation.
He's unreliable.
Well,
He's never been...
He's a charlatan. Yeah.
At the last minute...
Can't be bothered. I can't be bothered. Who are we talking to? Mick Molloy? Nah.
You're promoting the new show, Leno and Woodley, in Leno and Woodley.
It's a bit of old. It's a bit of new. There may be a couple of jokes that are in the show that there's inscriptions on the pyramids.
Trouble was brewing in the office around TV publicity merch, and producer Whitney was called in to explain.
Normally, Maths send the biggest promo presents.
Do they ever?
And then yesterday I walked in and there was a little block of chocolate wrapped up in a Maths photo, and then there was a heart...
A heart-shaped box of Raffaello.
And James, Dave and myself ate it.
You did not tell me they had anything to do with that.
Yes, I did.
No, you
Shut
did not.
Up.
Jay, you're overseeing this whole thing. Are you complicit?
It's a dark day in the history of the show.
Then I find out from Whitney.
They sent Moon Man a six-pack of Maths branded cupcakes.
I got a box of, like, 7-Eleven style. I've had to blow the dust off it. This was probably originally designated for blankety blanks.
And Andy Lee was also called into question with his new show, The Cube, premiering this week.
So it's huge. You're a huge star. You're a blue chip.
They didn't send you a little gift pack to promote the show.
I didn't
give
a little gift pack.
Let's call Lauren. She's the publicist from Channel 10.
Lauren, is that you?
Hello.
Are we giving out some kind of promotional gift pack for The Cube?
Yeah.
Oh,
oh, that hurts even more. Did Kyle and Jackie O get one?
Yeah.
Lauren, you're under oath.
You were meant to get one today.
Lauren, just quickly, I've just sent my producer Whitney to reception. Yeah. And Whitney, is there something for me from The Cube and Channel 10?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, my God.
He posed the question, is it cowbell?
I gotta have more cowbell.
The song is...
I'm not convinced it's cowbell.
Chilling in the Name
of... Of course it is cowbell.
Rage Against the Machine. Cowbell.
There it is.
It's not tinny enough.
Open your ears. Have
listen,
a good
listen to it. Tone's not right.
Andy Lee says it's two.
It's two cowbells, one slightly smaller, one slightly bigger. The bigger one comes in second. I played cowbell in my brother's band.
Rumours were circulating that Chappelle Corby was set to join the next Dancing with the Stars.
I'd like to see the list of songs she might take. Did she do the cha-cha? This would be cha-cha. What about the Paso Doble? What would you do? Right, ladies of Paso Doble? Tango? What's a tango? Okay, and now Chappelle with the rumba.
Tech expert Trevor Long joined us to explain the government's agreement with Facebook. Mick had plenty of his own tech developments for Trev.
Did you know that you can now get cash out at supermarkets from the checkout chick? You can get cash
in. I haven't seen cash in 3 years.
You know what the number one app in Australia is today? The Poo Map app. This has got Zuckerberg's hands all over it. So it tells you where you've taken a poop.
You drop a poop and you get to choose the location. You can even upload a selfie and a description. And all your friends can get an alert.
But this is a good app for me. I could be an influence. I could be.
Adam Rosenbach's dropped by the studio.
I went to a mate's birthday on Friday night at a pub and he had a cover band on. And they played the Divinyls' I Touch Myself. It was a male lead singer. Now, when a guy is singing that song, it takes on a whole different connotation and I've recorded what it sounded like.
Because when I think about you, oh, touch me so.
Dave Reynolds joined us from Pit Lane at the Bathurst 500.
Just be careful out there. I had a dream last night. You went the Tiger Woods way. You got to be Tiger Woods. You're a young dad now, and just be careful out there.
Yeah, no, he's fine. Professional.
Careful, don't worry, Mickey.
Let me keep your hazard lights on.
Dangerous Dave's attempt at keeping Thursday's show on time ruffled a few feathers.
Your mate Dave there cutting an AC/DC song before it.
Wow.
What?
I asked him not to do it. I said that.
Before the Angus solo, how can you do that?
Ben. Before the Angus solo?
Ben.
Let's have a listen to how it happened.
Oh, yeah, but AC/DC, this is Molloy.
Oh, man, are you ropeable?
Yeah, livid, man. Absolutely livid. After a hard day in the office, and I got to put up with that.
But from that low point to one almighty high when Paul Stanley joined us with the announcement that Kiss are returning to Oz one final time with the rescheduled end of the road tour.
We couldn't be more proud to
do these last shows and finally being able to come to your shores.
I have to take you back, I think, to your first ever tour of Australia, and you played at a place called Waverley Park.
Yes.
I was a young boy at the time, and I asked my mum if I could go and see Kiss. She said, no, you're too young. So I went to my bedroom. I said, I have no mother. Slam. Can you ask my mum if I can go this time?
I will write you a note.
That's it. That's the week in review. Well done, Matty Dow, the Pipes and Bands. Here to boot this good one night, home buddy. After this. Malloy.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Oh, yeah, just about done for the day, Malloy. Hey, next week, Mick, this is pretty awesome for our Malloy listeners. We're giving you the chance to go to Blues Fest. It is back for 2021.
Given the lineup, Dave, this is like a list of our favourite artists here
best
at Triple
of the
M.
Jimmy Barnes, The Living End, The Angels, The Church, The Teskey Brothers, who you championed their career with Eddie Maguire. So Blues Fest, it's the Easter long weekend. So what we're going to give you, return flights to Byron. So that's the Ballina Byron Bay connection there. You got private return airport transfers. We've got 5-day passes to Blues Fest.
Stay at the Hemsworth's house.
Close by.
Yeah, you do.
No, it's five nights. Okay, five. Well, you put your tent up at the Hemsworth's in your tent hotel, and then you got $1,000 spending money.
Jeez,
as well.
Louise.
We've got a bunch of those to give away, so be listening from Monday for your chance
bucks.
To
How
win.
How much rubbish could you buy at their markets?
The bungalow markets, which in Byron is pretty good.
You get all stuff you don't want to hear.
Dream catchers you
wind
can
chimes,
buy. And,
a Bartik skirt.
Lots of candles as well. No, it's amazing. So a Blues Fest, seeing live music, I think, is amazing.
The Blues Fest is one of the best festivals in Australia, and I'm so happy that we're part of it.
Yeah,
who
awesome.
Else is on our program next
week? Well, next week, another big week. Shane Jacobson, he is going to join us. Jim Jefferies is back from LA.
Wait.
He'll be joining us as well. Denise Scott. It's all A-listers. We've got Titus O'Reilly as well. Narrowly will give us the wrap of the weekend sport. Nate Valvo, I could go on. Hey, if you missed today's show, Paul Stanley as well.
Go to the podcast.
Yeah, and you get that from the listener app, Nick. ListNR. ListNR. That's where you find it on the App Store. Don't miss a moment of Malloy. Back Monday.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show Podcast.